I'm in a position to know, because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like is not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. Did you ever stop to think about that? When you let those 10 enter your school, did you?
Well, we should have listened to Captain Kirk when we had a chance. Back when there was still a chance at that. Thanks a lot, Captain Kirk. White Area and Resistance calling. White Area and Resistance calling. This is White Area and Resistance. And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker on a beautiful Wednesday, except for this vapor trails the government's putting down over us. That it's going to create clouds in the sky that was totally blue this morning. And now they'll be gray this afternoon. So anyhow, we're at P.O. Box 401, of course, and that is in Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and the big website is resist.com. Now, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. I've got these new decals that have come in with the non-equal sign on it, and I'll send you a few. Just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll put a few of them in, and you can get them out, and get them out at the right places, too. Get them out to where it'll cause a stink. We like to cause stinks here. Yeah. Well, let's see what the KKK is up to. The Hollywood KKK, most of the time. Well, it seems to be over there in Britain, they're getting all interested in the Klan again. So the TV channel BBC3 have put out a documentary on it. And you can download it on the internet and listen to it and watch it. And a lot of it's going to make you cry because the picture they're painting is really not that flattering for racial separatists. Here's what they say about it. Debates about race, but on the other, they've deepened already problematic divides between extremists. In fact, the Ku Klux Klan, the feared organization that terrorized the black population in America's South for much of its last century, is currently enjoying a mini-revival with new recruits applying all the time. Well, that's while Obama's president. When Obama's out of the presidency, he'll go back down to a trickle. Filmmaker Dan Murdoch headed to North Carolina earlier this year to spend time with a chapter called the Loyal White Knight and recorded his experience in a new documentary on the BBC3. His footage of the group makes for a tough watch. Actually, me too. The people he meets advocates the removal of the black race. Well, I don't have a problem with that. We'd have been much better off without the black race. They use derogatory terminology like nigger, startling effect, and deny that the Holocaust ever happened. Well, if they just study it right, they'd find it didn't happen like the Jews say it happened. A lot of Jews died, of course. A lot of 55 million people died in World War II. And we're expected to cry over the inaccurate numbers that the Jews talk about. What role does the Ku Klux Klan hold in 2015? Let's see what he says about that. Just a minute. I've got to move over this here and bring that down there. They're a secret society, about as secret as the Boy Scouts, I guess. How secret? Of course they're not secret. They talked about being secret, but Back in the old days, they weren't so secret either, because men were identified by their horses in a small community. Different men rode different horses. And in clan, no matter how much they put the robes on, many times they're identified by their horse or later on by their car. Anyhow, the clan I spent time with, the Loyal White Knights, claimed to be the largest clan chapter, and they told me that they had boots in every state. You know, this is the same bullshit that's been put out for decades. They have a clan hotline you can call to express interest in joining, and I called their call logs. I saw their call logs. They're getting tens of thousands of calls a month, though even they admit many of those are abusive. But monitoring groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center estimate clan numbers are in the low thousands. Well, if a few in the low thousands of white people ever got their back really up and grabbed a gun, they could put a pretty big dent pretty fast. It wouldn't last forever, but they could put a pretty big dent in what's going on if they were pointed in the right direction. What effect has Dylann Roof had on today's Klan? Well, I would imagine they're all denying him. The Imperial Commander of the LWK, Loyal White Knights, Armanda Lee, condemned Roof's actions, but followed up by saying that if he had massacred black drug dealers on a street corner, she would have no problem with it. So they got a female commander. Well, I don't think we should go about condemning anybody. I think white people, we just should not talk about it. I don't think we should even get into that discussion about Dylann Roof. Quote, I think the broader issue is for the LWK was the national debate focused not on Roof's attempts to start a race war, but on him posing with a Confederate flag. Well, I don't think he said he was trying to start a race war. Maybe he did, I don't know. Major retailers stopped selling the flag and it was taken down from outside the South Carolina State House. To the Klan, this was just the latest attack on their white heritage. Well, I don't think we necessarily need that symbol of our white heritage, because it was the symbol, really, of the Southern capitalist slave owners who could care less about the white working class peasant in the South at the time, except when they needed him to spill his blood for their industry. Why are more people signing up now, it says here. I met a new recruit named Bubba, who'd been a roofer for 20 years until he told me the Mexicans took my job. Well, actually not. You gave it away by the people not rising up against the illegal aliens like I did or tried to do way back in the 70s. He was unemployed and felt that he was being squeezed out of the job market by immigrants, by invaders, by illegal aliens, undercutting him on wages and big business outsourcing work to cheap countries. No, you were outsourced right here in this country by the corporations. They want the wetback. The Republicans and the Democrats both have wanted the illegal aliens to depress the labor market ever since this problem began. They know it, and these guys are blaming it all just on the wetbacks themselves. And since we have this NAFTA trade agreement, which is screwing the Mexican people and the Mexican farmers, even more of them are pouring across the border, just like the people in Africa, in the Middle East, are pouring into Europe. But the average white working class person is yet to understand the basis of this problem is the predatory capitalist system itself, and the corporation and the CEOs at the top and the shareholders in these corporations that are doing this to you. So our greatest threat has always been our own race, the rats who gain power in our own race and then do things that cause things to happen. And then, as usual, in fact, behind the scenes, false flaggers encourage you to blame it all on the wetback. Or every problem you've got on the Negro, and in which much of this problem is foisted on us by corporations wanting cheap labor and to destroy the peasants, us whites. So why? I wish the Klan would learn to target. Of course, that's not just the Klan. We need all the white people out there that are working class and middle class or lower middle class to target one group of people, and that's the people at the top, the corporation heads that are doing this. And if you want to stop the wars that are causing people to invade our country, well, then you go after the arms maker corporations in this country and in other countries. But no, but the only ones that are talking about that are on the left. Yeah, surprise, surprise. The ones that are talking about this arms trade and all that, and the corporations screwing the people, they don't necessarily say white people, but they're screwing all people. So if the right wing could get its mind straight, or the Ku Klux Klan, and go after the people that are causing the problems. See, the same thing happened in the 50s when the Klan rose up and went primarily after dumbass niggers walking down the road, stuff like that, or even that were demonstrating for some this or that. They never connected that all the governors of the southern states were behind the scenes plotting against them. They never saw the big corporation heads that were behind most of their problem. The blacks can be handled. You can explain it to them very easily. Yeah. Okay. Other gripes I heard included levels of black on white crime and positive discrimination in work or education. Well, there's black. See, the black on black crime spills over into black on white crime. If you're separated, this is not going to happen. But when you're told every day that these people are equal and they're going to move them into your neighborhood or something like that, well, then of course you're going to have. Blacks are going to do what blacks normally do and always have done, and what they did in Africa. As long as they had a weapon, like a machete, they're going to war against the tribe down the road. So it's proximity of the Negro, the nigger, that is your problem. Separated, well, they're going to kill each other, which they do all the time, to a great extent. What is the Klan's end goal, he says? Do they want to remove black people from the U.S.? Well, they should have never been here in the first place, friend. And if white people if they had looked ahead and had any idea what was going to happen, and you could have easily been estimated that once they kept breeding and breeding and breeding, and the plantation owners were encouraging mass breeding by blacks, so they could have more and more cheap labor. If the whites at the time would have met the slave ships on the shore and either sunk them or sent them back to Africa, we wouldn't have this problem. Or after the Civil War. It's too bad we had a Civil War. It's horrible. But that would have been a time, again, to turn them around and send them out. But both sides in the Civil War were recruiting blacks to kill whites. And who were doing that? The people in the top of the industry and the politicians. But who does the Klan attack? The lowly nigger at the bottom. Oh, it's no wonder they say, wait a minute. How come you always going after me? Just if they'd have just put them put the money behind shipping them all back to Africa when the time was when it was possible. Now it's not going to be possible because the only way to solve it is a very ruthless and violent reaction. And who knows what's going to come out of that. Some of them talked about seceding from the Union and setting up a white nation. Well, good luck. That's fine, and I would support it, but you're going to have to take up arms and fight for it militarily. Nobody's going to hand you anything. You can get all the white people in your state to say, we want to be separate, but the minute you actually do it, the federal government will send its troops down on you and their airplanes and their tanks and the whole bit. No matter who wants to be separate. If the blacks wanted to be separate in their own state, the same thing would happen because the federal system is a corporate system, 90% of aimed at profits and parasitical capitalism. I'm an Aryan socialist myself. I would hearken back to white socialism in Europe in the old days and also the early National Socialism in Germany before Hitler screwed it up. The consistent aim I heard was to have optional all-white establishments and institutions. Well, that should be that should be true right down the line. You should be free. The minute they told you you can't sell your house to just white people, you were a slave. When they told you you have to go to school with blacks, they told you were a slave. Everything they've done that has hurt the white race is the corporate power telling you that you're a slave. And that's just it. Many of whom told me that they were being forced to integrate against their wishes. Well, it could be suicidal, but you could rise up and start killing the people that are telling you that. You know, come on. You ought to save your race or what? Some said they want to be able to have all-white schools, churches, and businesses. Well, you got to fight for it. You didn't. Your fathers and grandfathers and so forth didn't fight for it. They were busy over killing white people in Europe, all over the place. Yeah, that's where your forefathers were at, killing World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the War of 1848. In Europe, whites killing whites. In fact, the white race has been busy killing off the white race tremendously more of a degree than non-whites. The non-whites may have wanted to kill all the whites, but it took the whites to do most of the killing of whites. Again, the crimes are whites killing whites, depressing whites, enslaving whites through the corporate system and so forth. So, who is the most dangerous to our race? Well, it's not the blacks, and it's not the chinks or even the Mexicans. It's the leaders of our race that have done it. Who put Obama in the White House? Who put him in the White House? The big corporations and the banks, because they own the media and the whole bit. And of course, the electorate were too stupid and too guilt-ridden to do anything about it but vote for the nigger. Now, he asks, what is their reason for hating non-white people? They constantly told me that they don't. Well, having been in a Klan and run a Klan, don't give me that shit because I know it better. It's the same line I used to use. But let me say this. At this point, I've got to admit to you that as a race, I hate the black race. Individual blacks, many times I can get along with, talk to them, and even empathize with them. But as a race, I hate the race. And I think we should be honest about it, because the Ku Klux Klan is not going to convince anybody of anything else. A lot of their justifications for seeing other races as inferior came from their interpretation of Bible passages. Well, I submit to you that anybody that uses Bible passages is inferior also. That's the trouble down south. The educational system under the planters was very bad, and it had been for a long, long time. White people were dumbed down, really dumbed down and kept down. And so the only thing they had to do was read the Bible and go to church and believe all the bullshit in the Bible. And in this day and age, you're going to have facts and figures and genetic information and all that kind of stuff. And you need to talk about eugenics and forget about the Bible, because it's going nowhere. Every preacher, he can decide at one time when the King Cotton was gone that he was all for slavery and God willed it because he found it in the Bible. And then other people find other passages in the Bible and say, can't have anything to do with those niggers. You can find anything you want in that Bible. It's my idea that the Bible should be banned as the most nasty book that's ever been printed. And it's I think the Bible in its present form was probably, the idea came from the devil, as Christians would say. Satan designed the Holy Bible. In fact, I promote the book, the Bible, the Devil's Book, because the Bible's full, one end of the other, pornography, incest, genocide, you name it, it's in the Bible. And these people say, that's great. That's why they want to have a big nuclear war, so Jesus will come back, because they think that, according to their Bible, that Jesus is going to come back. And surprise, surprise, Mr. Jew, because if you don't bend your knee to Jesus once he comes back here, they're going to kill all of you. So all the Christians technically are Nazis. I mean, I don't mean good Nazis, bad Nazis. Okay, there's a part in the film where a member claims that Auschwitz had theaters and swimming pools and wasn't a concentration camp at all. How can they not believe in well-documented events like the Holocaust? Well, it's easy, because much of that stuff is staged. Yes, they did have theaters, they did have swimming pools, and it was mainly, most of the time, it was forced labor. And so, but these people never want to talk about that, but these facts are there. We have just as much proof that there was, they had their orchestras, and they had their music, they had all of this kind of stuff going on in at least some of the concentration camps. And I'm not trying to whitewash persecution of Jews. I think the main thing was to punish the assimilated Jews in Germany and get them out of there, because the Jews in Germany were highly assimilated and had become productive citizens and creative citizens and so forth. And I believe the Zionists were sick and tired of that, and so they wanted to fill up Palestine with Jews, and so they said, let's get these assimilated Jews rounded up and push them out of Germany, and we'll get them over to Palestine. That's what I believe was behind the Zionist National Socialist contract. Quote, I ask if they are conspiracy theorists. Well, I think everybody to one degree or another is a conspiracy theorist. But they denied that. Well, what's wrong with a conspiracy theorist? What's wrong with that term? If you have a theory that there may be a conspiracy going on, what's wrong with that? They shouldn't deny that. I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I do everything I can to base it on facts and evidence. As we all know, the internet is awash with incoherent or just plain false information. Mostly on the other side. Mostly on the other side. Everybody's being led by the nose of the corporate media, the Murdochs and so forth. So I think he better watch out and clean his own doorstep. But they told me, that's the Klan, I'd been brainwashed by the liberal media and the education system, which is true. There's no doubt about that. The question here is, did you find it tough to keep your cool? Well, what are you going to do? Surrounded by a couple of hundred armed Klansmen? The aim was to try and build relationships so Klansmen felt comfortable talking to me. In other words, I had to pretend I was something I was not. But also to challenge them on their beliefs. That was a delicate balancing act, which meant having my game face on all the time. I normally get into the car after a day with them, take a deep breath, and put some hip-hop on. Oh, well, you like that nigger music there, huh? Do you think troubled people naturally drift towards a group that sort? Quote, I put to them that they were a conduit for disaffected or lonely white people, and they rejected that. Well, to a degree, I think that's true. Why wouldn't you feel disaffected as a white person in this country? Why wouldn't you feel pissed off? And why wouldn't a lot of white people be lonely? Yeah. So anyhow, what's wrong with that? They do it on the people with other beliefs do the same thing. And they're not even racist. Many of the people I met claimed that they had experienced racism themselves. If you're white, you definitely have. But it's manipulated through the corporate power, the money power, the ruling class, to twist it around and make it look like you're guilty. You're the slave. You're the target, but yet they got you convinced that you're bad. They'd been in a white minority at a black school or in a black neighborhood. Well, that's enough to piss off anybody. A lot were unemployed. Yeah. The corporates moved all the industry out of the country. So they're a little pissed off, right? Many were veterans. Some had been affected by reports of black-on-white crime. Yeah, you live in a race-mixed neighborhood. There's a certain amount of fear going to travel with you all the time. And you have to be ready for it at any moment. And be ready, if you have to kill. To be perfectly honest. All of them were fiercely religious. And there's the problem. The Klan claims it is a Christian organization. Sermons and Bible readings are an important part of Klan meetings. Well, that's one of the reasons I quit the Klan, because I didn't want to be associated with Christianity anymore. The Black Panthers have also had a resurgence. Tell me about that. Well, I arrived in Charleston a few days before Emmanuel EME Church Massacre, when white supremacist Dylan Roof killed 9 black churchgoers, and the scene outside the church was one of grief and shock. Well, they don't have grief and shock when the blacks gunned down a dozen people on a weekend in Chicago. They don't have grief and shock when blacks shoot down other blacks in Detroit and Newark and cities all over the country. I mean, maybe a handful turn out and wring their hands, but there's no big giant marches by blacks to get after and go after the guys that are doing it. But when a white guy does it, that gives them something to really go out in the streets about. Yeah. There's a few blacks that bell the cat and talk about this, but not many. Not the leaders. The so-called leaders, and those black leaders are furnished up to you by the corporate and the ruling class anyhow. they pick who's going to lead the blacks, and you can tell by the media they get. And they make, you know, like the Right Reverend Al Sharpton. He's almost, he can't even speak reasonably well. He's probably the worst guy I've ever seen on television. There are plenty of black guys who are so much better at speaking about this news than him. And so the reason he was so big at MSNBC, somebody had to, white people had to put him in there, and white Jews. So, and don't just blame it on the Jews either. I get tired of that, because there are plenty of nefarious Jews around, but I venture to say there's 1,000 nefarious white traitors around for every white Jew. There's the New Black Panthers, the Nation of Islam, Black Lives Matter, among others, and they were angry. And they were angry, and they were recruiting, and they're getting money donations, not only from the government, but from stupid white people. They burned the Confederate and American flags before marching across the city. Personally, I don't care. The days of my worshiping the American flag or the Confederate flag or any flag are over. They're all tainted. I was struck by how many local people joined them to protest. Well, you can, niggers like to march. They like to march and raise hell, throw beer cans and stuff. Okay, what's going to happen? Will there be a all-out race war, or do you think racial relations are on the mend in the U.S., with things getting worse before they can get better? Well, the guy says, many of the Klansmen I met are convinced that a violent all-out race war is on the horizon. I met Klansmen training armed militias for that moment, and of course you know they're all infiltrated to the hilt. To them, race war is very real. Well, I think, too, that at some point it's going to move in that direction, but it's going to be controlled by economic conditions and economic collapse, and then we'll see what happens. Like this, then, you might also be interested in Muslim boy accused of ISIS connections for saying eco-terrorists. Oh, this is about other things on this television, BBC. Oh yeah, they have a Memphis billboard now that's imploring nigger men to pull up their pants. They got to tell them their pants are sagging because they're probably full of turds. But anyhow, they have a big billboard that says, "Nigger, pull up your pants." Well, I see the Black Lives Matter movement, what a movement, is endorsed Senator Elizabeth Warren. Oh, interesting, on the left as a progressive. I wonder what she's promised them. I don't know whether I mentioned this, but I saw a film recently, The Black Mass, with Johnny Depp. They got Johnny Depp looking like sort of a Mediterranean swarthy. And Whitey Bulger was a white Aryan guy. And if you'll see his old pictures, you'll see that. He was Irish. In fact, in the movie, he's giving the IRA sympathizers a boatload of guns. Unfortunately, they didn't make it out, but he was doing that. So I think it's interesting that they picture Whitey Bulger as a... almost a non-white, or at least very dark. If you wanted any proof about Obama and his he has no allegiance to even his non-white mixed race, you need to go no farther than his recent appearance before the UN. You know, there's a lot of non-white people in Syria. There's white people there too, but there's a lot of non-white people that are being killed and bombed and chased out of their own country. Well, anyhow, in addressing the United Nations, President Obama singled out for condemnation, Syria's President Assad and his alleged use of barrel bombs. But Obama was silent on his own use of far more powerful ordnance for the civilian tolls from the Saudi-Israeli attacks with highly lethal U.S. bombs. The U.S. government has dropped hundreds of thousands of tons of bombs on Iraq alone in the last dozen years, and even hailed the start of the bombing campaign in 2003 as shock and awe, but now has coyly and repeatedly decried Syrian government's supposed use of crude barrel bombs. And what about those bunker bombs, you know, that our military-industrial complex uses? This hypercritical propaganda theme has been given voice in President Barack Obama's September 28th speech at the UN General Assembly, when he denounced anyone who doesn't favor regime change in Syria as advocating support for tyrants like Bashar al-Assad, who drops barrel bombs to massacre innocent children. You know, this regime change, and that's a sanitized version, in other words, depose or knock off country's leaders by our so-called government and country, is very interesting, because once that starts, who knows what's going to happen to Obama. When you start knocking off leaders around the world, don't you think that it might come to your leader? Who knows? Yet Obama offered no criticism of various U.S. administrations and American allies that have leveled whole cities, killing countless men, women, and children. That slaughter has included two atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan in 1945, and the devastation of Indochina during the 60s and 70s, with more bomb tonnage than was dropped in all the World War II. Millions, including countless children, were killed in these bombing campaigns. I mean, how hypocritical could you be? And most of the American people supported that shit, mass murder. And yet they go to church and get down on their knees, and it makes me sick to think about it. More recently, Obama's predecessor, President George W. Bush, ordered the devastation of Fallujah and other Iraqi cities to suppress resistance to the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq, the illegal invasion. Obama himself has boasted of ordering military strikes in seven countries, mostly aerial bombardments, with many confirmed civilian dead. And remember, they used tremendous amount of depleted uranium in the ammunition, and there's so much of it in Fallujah that it's a wonder anybody's still there that doesn't. And their kids have got birth defects like you wouldn't believe. And that's going to go on for, who knows, maybe 100 years, maybe 200 years. It's all over the ground. And it's so much they can't get rid of it. What are they going to do with it? And the radiation rate is very high. In 2014, Israel used American warplanes and armaments to blast apart Gaza, killing more than 2,100 people. The vast majority of civilians, and many of them children, including four little boys playing on the beach. Remember that? If I'd have been free from that tour I was on over there, I'd have wanted to go down to that beach and look it over. President Obama not only refrains from criticizing Israel's indiscriminate use of these devastating weapons, but stays silent on Israel's rogue nuclear stockpile, and today ponders which giant bunker buster bomb should be added to Israel's bristling arsenal. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia is dropping U.S.-supplied ordnance, reportedly including cluster bombs. And you know how mean those cluster bombs are? They just lay there until some kid comes along and picks them up, thinking. In fact, they used to camouflage them as toys. Oh, you don't remember that? Well, I do. And then they explode, sending these ball bearings every which way. And mostly kids are victims of these cluster bombs. On the helpless population of Yemen, with Obama's tacit approval and reportedly with the U.S. intelligence assistance. Well, if you want to find real white supremacists and Jew supremacists, that's where they're at. That's what they're doing. So you might as well call Obama a white supremacist. He's half white, so that half is a white supremacist killer. And they would point the finger at any white racist Klansman or National Socialist or anybody else, point the finger at those people and us, separatists. There's nothing we could have ever done or ever probably will do that can ever come up to the level of what these whites and non-white politicians are doing to non-white peoples in other countries. I mean, they're killing them by the millions. Yeah, now that is a real white supremacist doing that. The Congress of the United States, they're pretty much all mostly white. And they have the gall to say nasty things about you and me. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia is dropping U.S. supplied ordnance reportedly. Oh, wait a minute, I read that. On Monday, the Saudi Air Force apparently bombed a wedding party on Yemen's Red Sea coast, killing more than 130 people, including women who had taken refuge in a tent, according to various news reports. Well, I would recommend that you not take refuge in a tent, but I guess that's all they had. One surviving relative said it was difficult to determine the exact number of dead because the bodies were blasted into so many bloody pieces. Quote, "I saw nobody intact," said Aman al-Abazi, the uncle of one of the victims. That's what your tax money's going to. That's what your tax money's going to. You got to start accusing these people of being white supremacists. These Klansmen, when they attack you for being white supremacists, say, "Huh, maybe we are white supremacists, but we're not killing millions of non-white people like you are." Yeah, throw it back at them. You know, that's why, you know, I get a lot of my stuff from the left, because they're digging all this stuff up. And the right wing, they're not doing it. The conservatives, which are not conservatives, boys and girls, one of these guys tell you he's a conservative, he's neocons, he's a goddamn liar. They're no more conservative than the man in the moon. And what are they conserving as white people? What have they conserved about white culture and Western civilization and education and genetics? What have they done? They're goddamn liars. Yet, while in fact they're criminal liars, there are some liars that aren't too criminal. At least they're not doing real bad things, you know. But these guys are homicidal maniacs and so forth. So throw it back at them, but you can't do it in the right wing because you're under control of the Republican Party, and they're pro-war up the ass. Yet, while President Obama has avoided any direct public rebuke of the U.S. or allied militaries for their slaughter of civilians, he singled out Syria's embattled government for using a homemade weapon in its desperate fight against the terrorists of the Islamic State and al-Qaeda's Nusra Front. Well, these barrel bombs are nothing more than bunker busters that we've given out to Israel all over the world. Those bunker busters, the barrel bombs are not near as powerful as those bunker busters. Yeah, so anyhow, further, Obama claimed that President Assad dropped the barrel bombs to massacre innocent children, when there is no evidence that Assad had any such intent. Obama's comment amounted to crude and deceptive propaganda. Well, you got to look at it, too, from the national government's point of view. Now, you know what's going to happen if we rise up as a, or when we rise up as a guerrilla force in this country. Those bastards in Washington will throw everything they've got at us. And they talk about bunker busters. I mean, any real upheaval by the white workers and other workers in this country. And do you think that Washington would do any different than Assad? You're kidding. They'd be worse, man. These groups hiding out in the woods or training in the woods, that'd last about 2 seconds. By contrast, when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Nitwit launches one of his periodic lawn mowing operations against the people of Gaza, and many children are cut down in the process, Obama stands mute, apparently judging that the exercise is recurring butchery is just one of those, the price is worth it comments. Remember when Madeleine, what the hell was her name? Secretary of State? Madeleine, the Jewess. When she said, well, when somebody said, you know, you're killing all these millions of people, well, that's okay, it needs to be done, or something like that. Obama stands mute, apparently judging that the exercise is recurring butchery is just one of those price is worth it moments, okay? Pardon me if I read something twice. That's kind of, I don't have any niggers behind my console or Jews handling my program. It's just me down here in a deep dungeon. Obviously, any killing of civilians in wartime is to be decried. Whoever's dropping the, well, killing civilians anytime is to be decried. Whoever is dropping the bombs and whatever weapons degree of lethality, but it was still stunning to watch Obama apply such selective outrage. Indeed, much of the UN General Assembly seems genuinely shocked by Obama's blatant double standards. Well, they keep, you know, like the John Birch Society said, get out of the UN. They act like the UN's got power. The UN's got piss power. If they have the power, they don't use it, controlled by the same unseen forces behind the throne. But it's really all power for the course. Well, you see, another thing about the UN, they get all these countries into the UN, and then they control them. And most of the time, they don't rebel. They go along with, we got to be with all the other people. Whenever propagandists develop their themes for a conflict, they look for certain hot-button phrases that make the behavior of a black-hatted enemy appear particularly venal. Well, look what they're doing to Putin, you know. There's no need or even anything to go against Russia. I think we need Russia as a friend. And I think we need, if Putin wants to be a friend, that's good. And from everything I've seen, he's done nothing to deserve the crap that the U.S. government now has given to him, because the U.S. government needs another enemy. They try to wind down one war, and then they jump right into another. The barrel bomb has become the propaganda buzz phrase of the choice associated with the Syrian conflict. Yet it seems likely this clumsy, improvised weapon, supposedly dropped from helicopters, would be far less lethal than rocket-propelled bombs delivered from afar by jet planes or drones, the approach favored by the U.S. criminal government and its allies. Civilians would have a much better chance to seek safely in a bomb shelter before some barrel bomb is shoved out the door of a helicopter than when a sophisticated U.S.-made bomb arrives with little or no warning, as apparently happened to the victims of that wedding in Yemen recently. And that is not to mention the U.S. bombs that involve depleted uranium, napalm, and phosphorus and cluster munitions, which present other humanitarian concerns. Now remember, we've got millions of landmines left over in Vietnam. They're still blowing the shit out of people. And we've got millions of pieces of ordnance over there in France from World War I. an area over there you can't even go into because it's still full of unexploded ordnance. You know, I didn't know that till about a month ago when I read an article about it. The French have not been able to clean it up. So that's how long this shit goes, you know. However, while U.S.-assisted or U.S.-directed slaughters of civilians attract little attention in the mainstream U.S. media, there are endless denunciations of the Syrian government's barrel bombs. Yeah, right. And remember one thing, the governments will lie and say they're not really going after civilians. But it's historically true that they're goddamn liars because they always go after civilians. In Germany, they went after civilians. A lot of the industry was still there. I mean, you know, damaged, but still there. But the major death occurred from bombing, B-17s bombing civilian targets. And they admit it. They admit it. Well, it's okay. They were the enemy, so it's okay to kill them, you know. Okay to kill the women and children. They're the enemy. The propaganda drumbeat is such that the American people, whatever the hell that is nowadays, I don't claim American. I'm not an American. I'm an Aryan. I'm even worse. I'm an Aryan socialist. The American people are told that they must support regime change in Syria, even if it risks opening the gates of Damascus to a victory by the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda terrorists. Well, of course, Washington wants it to go on. The arms makers have to have it go on. How do you think they're making their goddamn money? They don't want to end any war, or if one ends, they got to jump right into another one. Yeah. Now, they say the American people must support. Well, you know, you may support or not support, but when do you get a chance to vote on it? When's there ever been a plebiscite in this country where they go on national TV and say, now we want you to vote whether to go to war or not to go to war? We have the technology now that they could have a button on every television set sold that said yes, no, or maybe. And any important big situation that the government is confronted with, they should go to the people and say, this is the question, and this is the evidence this way, and then have the other people, the antis, give their, and then, okay, boys, all you people out there, press the button and what you think, yes, no, or maybe. You think they would do that? Hell no. They've done it in other countries. They have plebiscites all the time. But not in this country. This great fucking democracy. This odd humanitarian equation tallied by the United States State Department and the human rights NGOs hold that to secure revenge for Syria's alleged use of barrel bombs, the world must accept the possibility of the black flag of Sunni terrorism flying over a major Mideast capital while its streets would run with red and with the blood of Christians, Alawites, Shiites, and other heretics. Then apparently the United States would have little choice but to lead a massive expeditionary force into Syria to oust the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, ensuring the deaths of hundreds of thousands more innocents and sending millions more fleeing into destabilized Europe. And of course, I think that was that's one of the big benefits they're reaping. They want to destroy Europe. They figured the EU would do a good job, which it is doing a good job to destroy Europe, but this is going to be even more. This is, if I didn't know better, I'd say there is a Satan behind this. Remember when the Ayatollah a few years ago said the United States is the great Satan? Well, the government is the great Satan. As far as I'm concerned, if there ever was a Satan, it's in the Pentagon and Wall Street and so forth. And Satan is in total control of the media. outlets. Worse than Satan, human beings. It's worse than Satan. When I read about the devil in the Bible, he don't seem like such a bad guy compared to these assholes. But such is the power of propaganda in managing public perception. Use a phrase like barrel bomb over and over again, as if it's a uniquely evil weapon, when in fact it is far less lethal and destructive than the ordnance that the United States routinely deploys and hands out to its allies, co-conspirators, like candy on Halloween. Soon people lose all perspective and are open to manipulation. Well, they have been open to manipulation for 100, 200 years, or forever, really. Because the masses are asses, as far as I'm concerned, always have been. They're sheep. They're all sheep. There's only about 1% of the people in the world that really have enough brains to know what's going on. And I don't mean rich people either. I mean a lot of these questions you could ask of a farmer sitting out on a fence post or on his front porch, what he thought, and he'd come up with truer answers than these public figures do. Once the U.S. public is softened up, they're mush now with propaganda and psyops, also known as strategic communications or STRATCOM, which I read to you yesterday. The only acceptable option is regime change in Syria, even if that prospect holds the likelihood of far worse human catastrophe. In other words, hundreds of thousands, millions more people blown to bits. We brought it on ourselves. The white race has brought all this stuff on ourselves. By hearing the barrel bomb enough times, the judgment of American citizens is clouded, and any practical suggestion for the realistic political settlement of Syria's conflict is deemed appeasement of a tyrant, which was the clear message of President Obama's UN trade. And if you think this has not much to do with straight race talk, this has a tremendous impact of giant proportions to the survival of the race. It's all hooked together, boys and girls. And thus the killing continues and the chaos grows worse. That was by Robert Perry, who I have a lot of respect for as a journalist. I have very little respect for journalists, but he deserves respect. I've been watching this Carly Florina, this bitch from HP that actually almost... Wait a minute. This gal that's coming up in the polls a little bit. Hopefully she's not going to make it, but I don't really care. Anyhow, this is what's being said about that. Being the darling du jour, however, can be dicey. Just ask Rick Perry and Scott Walker, two former darlings who are now out of the race, having turned into ugly ducklings by saying stupid things. But Farina is smart, sharp, witted, and successful. We know this because she and her PR agents constantly tell us so. Be careful about believing anything she says, though, for darling Farina is not only a relentless self-promoter, but also a remorseless liar. Take her widely hailed performance in the second debate among the Republican wannabes, where she touched many viewers with her impassioned, vivid attack on the Planned Parenthood. With barely contained outrage, Farina described a video which she said shows a women's health organization in a depraved act of peddling body parts of aborted fetuses. Watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, said a stone-faced Farina, looking straight into the camera while someone says, "We have to keep it alive to harvest its brain," which is ridiculous. People who would advocate and go along with the murdering of millions of people in the Middle East and all the wars we've had, why do they get so shook up and worried about the fetuses? Even when they're lying about it, I mean, the so-called American people are crazy. Okay. Oh, the horror, the monstrosity of Planned Parenthood. Yeah, Margaret Sanger was trying to use eugenics and so forth to improve the white race. And whether they realize it or not, even be helpful, more helpful to the blacks if they listened. And now they're trying to make her a pariah. She was an Aryan hero, as far as I'm concerned. And how moving it was to see and feel the fury of this lady candidate for president. Well, anyhow, none of it's true. While she urged the audience to go watch it, there is no such video. No fetus with kicking legs and beating heart, and no demonic Planned Parenthood official luridly prepared to harvest a brain. What are they going to do with that brain? Well, what about all these blacks that have a baby and toss it in the river? So did Farina make up this lie herself, or did her PR team concoct it as a bit of showbiz drama to burnish her so-called credentials and advance her political ambition? Or maybe she's just spreading the malicious lies she was told by some haters of the Planned Parenthood. Either way, there's nothing darling about it, much less presidential. So what's this worried about liars running for the president? They're all goddamn liars. All the people who've ever run for president are liars. I got something here about Ronald Reagan. Let me see before we close the show out.
Us in Canada had to send me a reminder that, you know, Michael Reagan is not Ronald Reagan or Jane Wyman's kid. He was adopted. So I went to the Wikipedia. Michael Reagan was born in L.A. to Irene Flaher, an unmarried woman from Kentucky who became pregnant through a relationship with U.S. Army Corporal John Burkholzer. Michael was adopted by Ronald Reagan and Jane Wyman shortly after his birth. He was expelled from Loyola High School after a short period of time. In 1964, he graduated from the Judson School, a boarding school outside Scottsdale, Arizona, which is for incorrigible teenagers, I guess. He attended Arizona State University for less than one semester and L.A. Valley College for a short time, but never graduated. He began working in 1970 as a salesman for the clothing company Hart, Schaffner & Marks. And he has been sued. He's been in court. What does it say here? Legal problems at Wikipedia. I don't have to get into it, but I'm just saying that Reagan was the one CNN decided to go to for comments about the Republicans all claiming to be Reaganites. My God. I've got nothing against adopted children. Jesus, nothing at all. I'm just saying, why would they go to somebody who is not connected to Ronald Reagan or Nancy Reagan? Oh, and Michael Reagan also said when Ron Reagan Jr. published his book that suggested his father was in the initial stages of Alzheimer's during his presidency, it was Michael Reagan who accused the real Reagan of what was it he said? Let me find it here. He accused his brother. Oh damn! It was just a nasty thing to say, a nasty thing for him to say. Oh, and he's a born again Christian, of course. I don't know. And then CNN with Jake Tapper playing this little game of he said, she said, what do you say about that? Well, the Democrats are having six debates. Okay. Larry just informed me. Six debates. They should have a one every 2 months. One that Tim in L.A. sent me. Reagan was a serial tax raiser. As governor of California, Reagan signed into law the largest tax increase in the history of any state up till then. Meanwhile, state spending in California doubled. As president, Reagan raised taxes in 7 of his 8 years in office, including 4 times in just 2 years. As former Republican Senator Alan Simpson, who called Reagan a dear friend, told NPR, quote, Ronald Reagan raised taxes 11 times in his administration. I was there, end quote. Historian Douglas Brinkley, who edited Reagan's memoir, said, quote, Reagan was never afraid to raise taxes, end quote. Brinkley added, Reagan, the anti-tax zealot, is false mythology. Now, see, why don't these filthy, stinking Republicans, if they're going to claim Reagan, they have to claim everything. The Reagan they're claiming is the Gipper, as Roz pointed out. They're claiming Reagan in the movie, what was that, New Rockney All-American, I guess. It was on television, just on Turner Classic Movies just a couple of months ago. I had to watch it again. But that's who these Republicans, and here's the irony, with few exceptions, nobody knows what Reagan they're talking about. How many people have seen New Rockney All-American? Christ, that movie was made in the 40s, wasn't it? There's a whole generation, there are 2 generations out here. They're going, Reagan? Well, when Reagan was president, Kathy, what, you were in high school? But they're going after the old people vote, I guess, because the Republicans, because they figure the young people and, you know, the foreign-born and the coloreds, they're not going to vote anyway. So they're going to go after people over the age of 60 who might have a dim memory of Ronald Reagan. But it's all mythology. Reagan sat down with Gorbachev. Remember the Reykjavik, Iceland meeting? A trust but verify, where it was Reagan that suggested, bless his heart, of getting rid of all nuclear weapons on the planet. That was Reagan. Oh.
Well, I don't know how many times I've told the audience of this radio show, and started years ago, in fact, before there was a radio show, and I told anybody who wanted to hear that what Ronald Reagan was. He'd nothing but a goddamn warmonger. Should have been in prison over the Iran-Contra deal. He raised, like I said, he raised taxes higher than any other governor up until that point. He put more non-whites in the California government than any other governor had. He literally put thousands of them into the California government, and then he said, I would use violence to integrate the schools if I have to. If there had been a problem of the whites rising up over the integration of the schools in California, he would have used violence against them, the white public. So that's, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg. He's supposedly a war hero. He never left Hollywood. He said he went to the death camps. He'd never even been to Europe. He was a consummate liar, just like all of these people are. Name me one of them that isn't a consummate liar. In fact, the one that tells more truth than anything right now is a Jew. It's the Jew from Vermont. What did Rockwell call him? A tame Jew. And he's a socialist. Well, I don't hold that against him. His views on race, of course, are screwed up, but I'm not saying to go out and vote for him, but I'm going to say on a lot of the issues, the most important issues, especially the economy and so forth, and the working class, he's saying more truth than any of these guys. But he won't win And there'll be a lot of hidden votes out there to say we don't want a Jew as the president. Well, you had a nigger for a president. Why not try a Jew? That's it for today, boys and girls. I got to have a drink, but I'm not going to have a drink. I got things to do, but this stuff is enough to cause you to go around the bend, baby, around the bend. I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday, and we'll go after it again. Yeah.